Continuing on with our series entitled Honor God, as I've said, this is our last Sunday. We began our Sunday, or 4 weeks ago, we began by talking about honor God with your heart and not with your lips. Then we talked about honoring God with our bodies. Last week, we talked about honoring God with our wealth. And finally, today, we're going to talk about honoring God with our service. My voice is about over. It's about to go. And the reason why was because after I preached here last Sunday, I had to fly to Singapore. I had to rush to the airport, make my flight to Singapore just in time to fly to Karawaci, Indonesia, and I had a meeting all night. And the following morning, I had to take a drive to Jakarta and have another meeting there a whole day. And that day, I had to drive up to Puncak in Indonesia, which is like Baguio, where the weather is very cold, and I had to speak for 2 days. And so by the time, by Friday night, my voice was almost gone. Now, on the flight to Singapore, as I left here, I went inside the plane and crashed on my seat. I was just too tired. I slept. Make a long story short, half of the flight, I was snoring and I was drooling. And so after a few hours, the plane got bumpy. I woke up, and there was a man right beside me, and he said, "Pastor Joey?" And I looked at him and said, "This is not a good moment." And he said, "Pastor Joey, my name is Bambi. I'm from Victory Fort. I want you to, you are Pastor Joey, right?" Yeah, that's me. All right. It's one of those moments. But the joy was when Bambi unpacked who he was. He talked about how he came to church and how he got saved and how the Lord touched him and how his wife serves in a school for dyslexia, children with dyslexia. It was an amazing story about this man. Then he began to tell me how he was one of the head ushers here at the service and how he would go to an earlier service to serve as an usher. I was deeply touched when I asked him, "Now, Bambi, what do you do?" He said, "He's a senior executive for IBM, and he's on his way to have some training in Singapore." I said, "How do you find the time to serve?" He said, "Because I just felt like I needed to do that, and I did that for some years." I was very encouraged as I left the plane. I said, "Bambi, could you do me a favor? Could you email me and make sure you email me your full name, the name of your wife, your ages, and the ages of your children, and I need to know your top three prayer requests. I want to pray for you and stand with you." And so I left. I got home, and he emailed me, and he said, "Bambi, so-and-so," and said, "Just make sure you don't forget me. He put a little title. I said, "I'll never forget you. Walt Disney made sure I'll never forget your name." How many of you know men? No, not very many men are called Bambi. And we got connected. The point is service and the servanthood of this man. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 10, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." I want to draw your attention to two words, the words serve and the word worship. Intricately connected, the word worship talks about the honor of God, the praise of God, and one of the ways that he's honored is that we serve him only, to serve him, to acknowledge him. It's interesting that one of the things that Satan wants to do is to keep you, even the Lord Jesus himself, from serving the Father, from serving God. That's one of the things that we need to understand. It's a demonic thing, literally, to be prevented from serving God. Now, the reality is service is not the strong points of humans. The reality is, if you ask myself, I'm not inclined to serve. It's unnatural. Rather, we rather be served. If you look at the service industry, a lot of that service industry is growing because we're paying people because we want to be served by heaps. And that's the reality. Because the truth of the matter is, we're not the kind of people that want to serve. It's unnatural for us. It's only in a Christian environment like this where people will find their way in serving God and serving others because it's something that Jesus taught us. And as when you think about how unnatural this is, I'm reminded of the first times when I became a Christian. My wife and I became Christians. The church was very small, and we would attend church, this church, and the way my wife would serve in kids ministry, and we didn't have a facility like this. And we had to pack up the bags and pack up the books and pack up the chairs and pack up everything in the trunk of the car and my van and had to bring them home. And our den literally had to be a storage area for that. And sometimes when you think about that, you think, whoa, what great service. The reality was it changed me when I started intermingling with other Christians and seeing how other people served selflessly and gave of themselves. It changed my mindset that it didn't have to be something unnatural, but it was actually a blessing, and that if I didn't learn how to serve, Satan was actually preventing me from stepping into the fullness of all that God has for me. Further, in Matthew 25, verse 35, Jesus explains, how do you really serve Him? How do we serve God and honor Him? Verse 35 says, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. And he's talking about this almost ethereal feel of how do you serve God? And then, I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came and visited me. Jesus was explaining this to his disciples that this is me. And asked the question, when did you see you sick or in prison, or when did we go and visit you? And then the Lord began to say this. The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of the brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Whatever you did for someone else, whatever you did for the least of these, he said, you actually did it for me. You just didn't do it, you did it for me. That was something that you did not just for other people, that was something that you did for me. A question for you and I, and this is a short service, a short message. Our goal, as you know, every year is that we mobilize volunteers, and that's the joy of this church. I pray that we never lose that. I pray that we raise a generation of young men and women just like these who find it a joy. Did you see the joy here today? You know, in my generation, we had to be dragged out to serve. It was a generation that just wanted to be served. And I'm praying and I'm believing God that the coming generation of Christians will be those who would be like these kids, who genuinely get excited at the notion of coming to church at 7 in the morning, doing this 6-7 times in different groups to serve. The day that thing happens to our nation is the day our nation changes. The day someone extends to another person and saying, you're worth my time, you're worth my energy, you're worth my resources to serve you, is the day we turn this nation around. And for as long as this nation is centered on me, 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 and what I get and me, we're not going to change this, folks. Another generation will come and another generation will go, and nothing much will change. The big question is how? And please don't see this as a pitch to get you to volunteer at church. If you volunteer in church, that's merely a stepping stone to coming to a place of having a life of service, to waking up to the reality that you were called by God to serve, that Satan himself is trying to prevent you from entering in. So how do you do this? How do you really serve God in this church or in elsewhere? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. Each of you, everybody say, each of us, look at your neighbor, look at yourself, you're part of this. Each of you, each one of us should use whatever gift God's given you, you're supposed to use it in service of others, it says, that you have received to serve others. Now, the common excuse that people give is, I'm really not sure what my gift is. I'm not sure if this gift is actually useful. In other words, I have a gift of ignorance. I don't know what to do. It's a perfect excuse, isn't it? I'm ignorant. I don't know how to serve, so I better not serve. But the Bible tells us that you have received a gift. And the truth of the matter is, the way you learn your gift is by going out and using it to serve others. The more you go out and serve others, the more you're going to know your gift. I didn't know I had a teaching gift. It's after I did classes. And Pastor Steve would assign me and say, would you take the foundation class? Would you do this? And the more I stayed faithful, I would listen to cassette tapes in our house. I'd listen to cassette tapes of old messages I preached some 20 years ago, and I want to burn them. And I'm praying, God, I wish everybody lost those cassettes because I was horrible. Some of you are saying, up to now, you still are. But it's the constancy of doing it and serving others that your gift becomes revealed. But if your excuse is I'm ignorant and you never step out and actually do it, then you never discover the gift. It stays latent inside of you. It becomes useless at some point. But when you step out and start serving others, you realize this was a gift that God's given me. Now, the second common excuse is, I'm inadequate. I get it. I'm supposed to serve, and I know I've got a gift, but I'm not that good. Well, the scripture tells us that the idea is to stay faithful. Just keep doing it. Stay faithful and keep doing it. The more you do it, you get better and better at it. The more you serve, the more you do the things you're supposed to do. Some of these singers, probably when they start auditioning here, we probably didn't take them. Some of them couldn't sing, but as we went through the years with them, they gradually got better and better. Maybe that's ushering. Maybe that's tech. Maybe that's support systems. Or maybe that's helping the poor. I pray to God, this was my fasting focus this year, that God would really utilize us as a church. I'm believing God that one day we will actually have services for very poor people in public schools. I'm believing God to touch the fabric of our nation that way. I know for a fact that the only reason why people are poor is because nobody taught them otherwise. That if someone else went to them and told them there is hope and there's an opportunity and they could be plucked out of that, I'm convinced I'm the chairman of the board of the Real Life Foundation now. And as I see these young kids, hopeless situations, hopeless. And yet somebody, one of our guys, one of our staff, reaching out and pulling them out and saying, no, it can happen. It can change. It will change. And folks, it's not a one-time rah-rah rally. It's not a one-time message. It's a week to week, if necessary, day to day, telling people, don't give up. Life will change on you. And that's how you do it. It's one by one. And we've heard this before. It's already a cliche. It takes one to pluck one out. And that's the reality. And that's why we all have to be mobilized as volunteers at some level. Stronger the church gets, the stronger, more disciples there are, the more we can reach people. And the point is, be faithful. In whatever God has entrusted to you, be faithful. And so the third excuse is, I'm not just ignorant, I'm not just inadequate. The bottom line is, I don't have time. In other words, I don't want to be inconvenienced. And God says, you can have time, and it's not an inconvenience, because my grace is able to let you do that in its various forms. Sad, sometimes when you hear Christians talk at length about grace and debate over grace and preach about grace, not realizing this is one of the moments to talk about grace, where grace is not just applied in theory and theology, but in actual application where it can actually change someone's life because we went out and served them. And he says the purpose of that grace is really to serve others. The purpose of that grace is not so you can just be free to do whatever you want. The purpose of that grace is that you can go out and be of service to others. Let me run through you as I try and land this. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor Christian, who will give all of us an opportunity to serve at some level here at the church. That's not the only way to serve, but it's a good place to start. And if you've been coming here for years or months, maybe it's time that you got involved. I'll talk to you about ignorance, an excuse that says, I'm ignorant, I probably can't do it. I want to tell you about Aaron. I've been watching Aaron. He was a little kid when he came here, would ride his bike, got saved at our church, got baptized in our church. Aaron Bagang would take his little bicycle and bike all the way from Pateros to volunteer with our video guys. He would hold the light. He would hold the screens, and he would just be an apprentice. And the more he watched, he realized that they put microphones and wireless taps and all of these things, and he volunteered as a videographer, and now he's part of our staff. He's become so good at it that the videos that we've been watching here, a lot of them are produced by this kid. It's amazing what happens when you say, you know, I'm ignorant. You know, just jump in. Get in. Get involved. If your excuse is inconvenience, probably 80% of these kids up here are either worship team guys or kids ministry guys, which means these guys are probably involved in volunteer week after week. I love the fact that we had 70% kids, but I could see there was about a 30% older people. Did you see them? And that's good. That means that our church is active. Our church are not just sitting down. When you think about inconvenience, one of the stories that always moves me is Mike Romero's story. Mike is this man in the center there. Mike lost his leg because somebody had stolen and snatched his bag in a bus, and he had to run after him, fell off the bus, and basically the bus ran over his leg and he had to lose it. And the volunteers of kids ministry stood with Mike and prayed for Mike and believed with Mike, resuscitated Mike, encouraged Mike. And to my knowledge, to this moment, year after year after year, week after week after week, month after month after month, Mike's down there encouraging our children. I wonder how inconvenient it must be for him. And there's Mike. And you know what? It's unnatural. And probably impossible. Not without the grace of Jesus. With the power of God living in our hearts, we can do anything. And one of the ways to honor him is through our service. And maybe the excuse is inadequacy. I'm just inadequate. I can't do it. I'm just not gifted. And I bring you the story of Gia San Pedro. Gia was told as a young girl, don't sing. You might make it rain. It's just bad. Don't ever sing again. And Gia joined and auditioned and sang, and she got accepted and said, we're going to help you. Sang by the sides. And today you might see her every now and then leading worship here. Leading worship, our prayer and fasting. Because she stepped out. And so whatever your excuse is, is it ignorance? Is it inadequacy? Is it inconvenience? The answer really boils down to this. And the summary of all of it is really not any of that, because if you really wanted to do it, you will learn. You will find the time. How many of you know you find the time for the things you want to make time for? And you will learn, and you will learn and not be adequate in the thing that you do. But my suspicion is a lot of people don't serve not because of that. My suspicion is the reason why people don't serve is because of this thing called choices and options. And I'll tell you a brief story, and I'll end with this, and I'll turn over to Pastor Christian. If whenever I think of service and servants and the best picture of that, and for those of you who are from the West or you're from overseas, you probably don't see this as often as you see it, or you did not grow up with what I grew up with. Probably the best picture of service you'll ever find are maids and drivers. Day in, day out. I see them in my house. They wash the clothes that are not theirs. They cook the food that they'll not eat. They take care of the children that are not theirs. They drive to parties that they will never go into and wait for hours beyond their office hours, serving, serving, and serving. I grew up with that. I grew up in the 1960s where I lived in a compound. My grandfather had drivers. It was a guy who took care of the yard. There were women that cooked in the kitchen. There was Aling Felisa who, whatever you wanted, you got. And year after year after year, I never realized that that was not the norm elsewhere. Until one day they brought into my home a girl probably the same age as mine. Her name was Nida. And the moment she stepped into our house, I never liked her. And I couldn't explain why I didn't like her. Until I got older. Until I understood how hard it is for people who have nothing. That though they want to not serve, because if you ask yourself, anybody in this room, would you wash someone else's clothes? Would you clean someone else's toilet? Your answer is no. Then you have to ask the question, then why do they do it? And the answer is because they really don't have any choice. And I disdained Nida because I wondered why she would do that when she could be a child like me and play. Only to realize when I got older that she didn't have a choice. Folks, the reality is servanthood is because you have to make a choice. And the fact of the matter is, in the scheme of things, we don't have a choice but to serve our King. And sometimes the only reason why we can deny that and speak of inconvenience and give our reasons is because we're making the wrong choices. When the reality is we don't. The only choice we really have is to say, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to honor you by serving you. It is the arrogance of our hearts that thinks that just I can do whatever I want because I have choices. And the people that serve are the only ones that can serve because they really don't have one. And my prayer is that today you would wake up to reality that God wants us not just as an army for Christ, but a people that embody the truth of who Jesus is. I love this story of this man. His name is Robert Lee. If I told you what he does, he's a senior executive. He commands probably a troop of people. He's a PMA graduate. He's got degrees, etc., etc., etc. And I asked our volunteers, who is one of our most devout volunteers out there, and said, this man, Robert Lee, is out there in the rain, in the sun, and he's serving others. And they had no clue who he was until they interviewed him and found out what he did. What's the difference between him and you and me? He made a choice. He says, I'm going to serve. I'm going to get out there, and I'm just going to do it. Two stories I love so much about honoring God with service are two Chinese businessmen from our church who attend this service so that they can serve at 2 o'clock and welcome the Taglish service as ushers. One of them has gone to be with the Lord. The other one, both of them owners of very large businesses. One of them I came across recently and I said, and his children are friends of mine, and I said, I want to tell your story because of how faithful you've been through the years. And he smiled at me and put his arm around me like an old gentleman and said, Pastor, please don't do that. I've been doing this for years, and I'm just doing it for the Lord. My prayer is that we will, as a church, understand that God is honored when we serve Him. When we serve Him at His church, when we serve Him elsewhere. Jesus said it this way, the greatest among you shall be your servant. And He proved that by His own life. That He made a choice. That He could make the choice and the options that He had to do away with serving others and serving us. And yet Jesus said, I'm going to serve you. Make my joy complete that you would serve one another. That the world may know that you're a different people. That you're not the kind of people that the world has. That you are indeed my disciples. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the gift of grace. But I pray, Father, that today you would open our hearts to have a willingness to serve this church and beyond this church. And I pray, Father, that you touch each member of this congregation, Lord. Mobilize us, Lord, as a body, Lord, not just to receive God, but to be able to give honor to you through our service. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.